Hi everyone, today we're reading John chapter 9, verses 35 through 41. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." So this week we've been going through this story of Jesus healing this blind man. And on Tuesday, we talked about how Jesus heals this man so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then yesterday, we encountered the real blind men. And those real blind men were the Pharisees, who could not recognize the work of God in the blind man and through Jesus. The Pharisees go on this crazy witch hunt, if you will, this investigation to figure out what happened, because they're offended that Jesus healed on the Sabbath again. So they do this really silly investigation, and it leads to contentiousness, and it leads to this man being like cast out of the temple, or at least of their presence of these Pharisees. And all the while, the Pharisees are showing us that they're spiritually blind to what God is doing through Jesus. Now, in the midst of this chaos, Jesus comes to this blind man, after this blind man, or formerly blind man, after he had talked with the Pharisees through all these things. Jesus seeks him out to talk to him. We see Jesus do this with people. He brings healing, and then he talks to them to make sure that they have faith. And so he comes to this man and tells him, and he asks him if he believes in the Son of Man. "Do you believe in the one who has come to save?" And the man says, "Who is he? Show him to me." Because before, he didn't see Jesus. Jesus put this mud on his face and he walked away. So he actually never saw Jesus' face. And Jesus here tells him, "It's me. I'm the one who healed you. I am the Son of Man. I am the Son of God." And this man believes and he worships him. And it's important to note here, Jesus didn't just come to heal. He came to save. And he came to bring people to him. And he produces this faith in this man. And praise God, this man was blind, but now he sees, not just physically, but spiritually. He sees the one. He sees the Christ. He sees Jesus, the Son of God. Now, in the second half of this passage then, Jesus declares, in this moment of this man's like belief and worship, he says, "I've come to this world that people who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Now, what is Jesus talking about here? Jesus here, I think he's throwing all sorts of like double meanings here, and he kind of like changes throughout, so you kind of have to track with it. Now, the first part makes sense to us. Jesus came so that the blind could see. People who do not see may see. And that makes sense. He came to bring healing, not just physical healing, but like bring salvation. He prayed that people who are lost could be found, that they were blind, they can see now. What about the second half? Why would Jesus come so that people who can see would no longer see? They become blind. Well, at the beginning of this verse, in verse 39, he says, "For judgment I came into this world." For judgment. What is that? I think by that he means that as people responded to him, this was the judgment they would face. They would face judgment based on their response to the work of God in Jesus. And so Jesus came that those who see would become blind. What is that? That's his judgment. That's the judgment against these people. Jesus came that so that those who could see would become blind. Those who could see here would be maybe what we would call like the enlightened ones, the educated ones, or in this context, the ones who presume to know God, to know God's ways. They would become blind because their seeing, their religion isn't about God. And the clearest example is right here. It's the Pharisees. And it's funny because they hear exactly what Jesus says. And they're like, "Jesus, are you talking about us? Are we blind?" And Jesus, his retort to them, it's kind of a double meaning again. He's like, It's like, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. He says, if you were blind, implying, no, you're not blind. But wait a minute, what's happening here? Jesus, because they are actually spiritually blind, but what Jesus is doing, he's pointing out their real major issue in a different way. And saying, like, he says, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. What does that mean? He, in a sense, means they'd be better off if they were blind, because then they would at least have an excuse for not following Jesus. But as it is, they say they can see. And because of this, what they're saying is that they're like, because they can see, they're saying that they're educated, they're enlightened, they're better than the other people because they can see, they know God, those kind of things. But because they think that, their guilt remains. Why is that? Because if you presume to know God, if you have read through God's word, if you've memorized it, understood all of it, then you should know God. Then you should see God in Jesus. In a sense, they should know better, because the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus, God himself, is right there in their presence, and they cannot see him. So their guilt remains, because as much as they declare to seek God and to be after God, they're not actually. And this should remind us of, like, Nicodemus. He's the teacher of God's people, but he didn't understand the spiritual things that Jesus was saying because he was blind. He needed to be born again to accept and receive these words of Jesus. When we think about a passage like this for ourselves, we need to pray that we can see Jesus. And we need to pray that we can see the good work that Jesus is doing and displaying in our lives and the lives of the people around us. And we need to follow him. If we think about a passage like this, we should think about who we relate with more. And if I'm honest, I'm probably more like the Pharisees in this passage than this formerly blind man. Because maybe of education, I'm dogmatic, I read the Bible, all this kind of stuff, I have this role in ministry, that I can presume to know God's will. But what I need to be careful of is I need to have a softened heart and eyes that are open to receive and accept the work of God that is right around in my life right now, and the people around me, and my family, and in our church, and my neighbors. That's the kind of heart that I need to have. And that's the kind of heart we need to have as well, that we can have eyes that can see the work that Jesus is doing. So let's pray for open eyes, for open hearts. Let's pray against the hardness of our hearts that blocks Jesus out. But let's pray that we will have humble hearts that seek to see the work of God. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that we were once blind and now we can see because of what you have done for us, Lord. And I pray that as we have seen, as we see, that we will continue to have our eyes open to see your work, to recognize that we don't have the answers, that we aren't the enlightened or educated ones, but that we are sinners in need of grace and mercy, and that it is that we surrender to you and depend upon you for change and transformation of our lives and of our hearts. Bless us, God. Move in our hearts. Help us to trust you and to know your goodness and love. In your name we pray. Amen.